Christ, we are on Bab Amud Beis, 1, 2, 3, 6 lines from the top of the page, where we are again. We're trying to compare the case of the Shemachlif Hamor, Hamachlif Parba Hamor, right? Umashach, mm-hmm. Right? So the case of the guy does the Mashicha on the Para, and then so automatically transfers the ownership to the other person of the donkey, and then the donkey dies. The question is when, etc. So that argument of that the Baal Chamor has to be your proof that his Chamor was alive, right? So that sounds like Kala. That sounds like our case of Kala, right? Our case, where I was trying to explain what cases would be similar to such a case. So Amr Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Kala Bebeis Avia L'Kiddushin, right? So we stopped, kind of, we just explained sort of the first half of this last time. So Amr Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Kala Bebeis Avia L'Kiddushin. So what's the case? The case is the woman who, again, has done Kiddushin, but not yet done Nisu in the first half of our original Mishnah, right? And she'd be Mekabela's Kiddushin, and she'd accept the Kiddushin, right? And the point being that when a woman accepts Kiddushin, that's typically with an assumption she's eventually going to do Nisuin. So the Kiddushin money, when she did Nisuin, that Kiddushin money stays with her. But what happens if they did only Kiddushin, and then somehow they're going to end this relationship? So is that Kiddushin money really, and by the way, the Kiddushin money at this point, like, it's, we assume, belongs to her father to a certain extent. So does he keep that money automatically? Does that money sort of, could it go back? So the point being, since it's money that in theory could go back, the what is the father doing? He's bringing a raya to not just to be mozi mechavero, he's bringing a raya in order to maintain that which is that which he's already, you know, received, which has become his, which is now very similar to the guy who has done the mashicha on the para, right? And the other person claims, wait a second, but the chamor died early, you know, ahead of time, etc. He has to be right to do what? To hold on to the power that he's already acquired, right?
The father gives the money. He gives it at Nisuin.
The
father.
That's the dowry. But right. But the husband is giving Kiddushin money. I mean, part of the Kiddushin itself is done through either Kesef Shtar or Bia, right? So mm-hmm. If it's Kesef, so Harad Mikdash, because with Tabaz, we use a ring, right? But it can be any money. So when he gives her money, the husband, right? So that's the Kiddushin. So that, I guess the argument at this point is that Kesef Kiddushin technically belongs to the father at this stage. So, but even that question is, does it really belong to the father? And if they end up not getting married, not continuing towards Nisuin, could that money in theory actually revert back to the husband? So fine, and then, and this is where we didn't continue. So the question is velo tema, and don't tell me aliba demanda amar kiddushin lav litibuin nitnu, and don't tell me that this is, you know, that what about the opinion that holds that kiddushin is not for tibuin? What does that mean? Look at Rashi, look down at Rashi velo tema hadamina. It's like much further down in the. Much further down in the Rashi on the left side, right? The first one was Viyado, and the deer muscle is Velo Tema. Mm-hmm. See what that is? Velo Tema Hadamina Sharaya Shetzricha Get Tzricha Afla Kevlo HaKedushin Shebiyado, right? Meaning, and this argument that the requirement of the father bringing a Raya so that he can keep the cast of Kedushin, right? Don't tell me that's Aliva Demand Amar Kedushin Lavli Tibudin, meaning Stam Kedushin. Lovely tibuin nitnu. I mean that regular kiddushin money isn't to be like tibuin. Literally means like to be like, like destroyed or whatever. Yeah. Or right. What how they translate?
Normally given irretrievably.
Right. Exactly. Right. She'im meis hachasan. Right. Because if the chasan dies, right, hakiddushin chozrin. Right. The money in theory goes back, right, to his estate, whatever. So right? Before he does nisuin, hilkach hacha. So therefore here, ki havu kiddushin suffik. So then in this case, where the kiddushin is kiddushin suffik, right, we don't know. Again, in our case, whether she had a mum before or after, right? Ein kocha yafe behen, utzricha lahavi raya. I mean, maybe argue, so what's going on here? Because kiddushin is not really meant to be irrevocable, irreversible in a certain sense. It's something that can pass back and forth. That maybe if the chasam would die, it would go back anyways. So maybe say, that's why over here you're saying, well, the father has to bring a proof, right? Because to hold on to the case of kiddushin, because this is according to the opinion that holds that kiddushin is not, irrevocable, basically. Don't say that, right? Don't say that. But rather, we're going to say that this is even. So now go back to the Gemara. Right? So the Gemara said, Velote, we're just. Here, one, two. Like 7 or 8 lines down in Ayin Vav and Beis. So Velotema. Don't tell me Yaliba Daman Damar Kedushin Lavli Tibur Ninu. Right? Don't tell me this whole conversation, right, is only in a scenario, only according to the opinion that holds that Kedushin is, not irrevocable. Ella Fil Ma Damar Kedushin Li Tibur Ninu. But even if someone held that Kedushin in general, is basically irrevocable. You give Kedushin money, which you kind of like probably always assume, right? You give Kedushin money, that's it. You did Kedushin and now she keeps the money forever. The father keeps the money forever, right? Because why? Because honey mealy kiddushe vadai. When is that true? When is it that we usually hold that kiddushe kesef is given and it's kept forever? That's when the person has a real kiddushin. The kiddushin is vadai. We know that the kiddushin was good, right? Aval kiddushe tos, right? But if it's a kiddushin that was done as a mistake, right? The guy, or it's a suffix, right? He's claiming it was a mistake. Right? I didn't know she had a whatever. So some moment in her body. So e maisi rai in e lo lo. It depends on whether father can bring a proof or not. If he brings a proof, great. If he doesn't bring a proof, then not. But the point is, don't get me into this conversation. Oh, that's only because you hold the kiddushin can be reversible. No, it doesn't matter who you are in that. That machlokas is not even relevant here. We're just like throwing it in there. Just you shouldn't make the mistake and start making that argument against us, right? And the point is. That's not part of the conversation, because here, since the kiddushin was given, and it's a suffix whether the kiddushin was given, before or after that moment appeared, so it's a suffix kiddushin tos. In which case, now we have a, so that could be the case where we are the woman is given kiddushin while she's still in her father's house. And that's what our mission is talking about. And our mission is saying that the father has to bring a raya. Why? In order to keep that kiddusha kasef. And you see, that's a proof for this idea of the machlef par v'chamor, that the guy has to bring a proof in order to hold on to the par he's already acquired.
Yeah, the owner of the chamor.
Sorry, owner of the chamor has to bring the raya, right, in order to keep the cow that he's now acquired. Yes, correct. Right. Okay. Good. Fine. So we think, great, we did a great job. Says the bar of Nazareth. Meisve. Okay, we're going to learn something new about Hichos Kashrus. Okay, so Meisvei Mechet Shenimse Nimseis Beovi Beis Hakosos. Okay, so what is the Beis Hakosos? Look at Rashi. So we're talking about an animal, and we're talking about the stomach of an animal, stomach of a cow. Okay, and there are different four different stomachs or whatever to a cow, and one of them, like the second one, I think, is called the Beis Hakosos. Why? Because it looks like little cups, basically. So it's called the Beis Hakosos. And one of the rules is, for an animal to be you shocked an animal, and it turns out it had some type of wound internally, that it would have died within 12 months. So then, irrespective of the fact that you shocked it was on its way to dying anyways. So then it's called a trefa, and then you can't eat it, right? Mm-hmm. So how do you determine if an animal is a trefa or not? So one of the ways is, if it has a hole in the base hakosos, okay? It has some type of puncture. So mechad shenimtsa. So let's say you find a needle in the beis hakosos, in this line, in this stomach, and you see it mitzad echad. So if it's mitzad echad, the hole's only on one side of the stomach, ksheira, then it's still fine. That's not a wound that's so bad that the animal would have died. Mishneit stadin treifa. But if that hole goes all the way through one side to the other, so that there was like a needle, somebody swallowed the needle, whatever, and it got stuck in there, and it goes through both sides, so then. It's a trefa, fine. So then, and then the animal can be eaten. Nimsa aleha koret dam. If you find on the needle a little bit of blood, biyadua shuhu lifnei shchita. Right. So then you know that this needle got in there before the shchita ever took place. But lo nimsa. Why does that matter? Because it matters if someone purchased the animal and then shechted it. Right? Was a trefa when I bought it, right? Lo nimsa le'akor adam. If you don't find any blood on the needle, biyadu ashur la'achar shechita. So then you know that it came afterwards. Okay, because apparently you wouldn't, once the animal's dead, it's not going to bleed in the same way, I guess. Okay. Huglad pihamaka. What if the place where the hole starts in the stomach has scabbed over? So then biyadua sheshloshe yamim kodem shechita. Then you know that this wound happened 3 days before the shechita. Again, important because it depends on when the person bought the animal. Lo huglad pihamaka hamotzi mechaveh alav haraya. But if it did it, if there was never, it never scabbed over, so then we don't know basically when it came, right? And therefore, could have happened after you bought it.
Yeah.
In which case, the person who wants to, you know, get his money back, so great. If you've already paid, then you got to bring the ride to get it back, right? That's up to you. Okay. And then the question is, and then the case says, "V'i yahiv tavach dami." So what's the case here? So if the butcher, right, presumably who bought this cow, had already paid money, right, by the Asura Raya, umafik, he has to bring a proof, right, to get his money back. Vamai, ba behema, lacy raya venokim. Let the owner of the original owner of the animal, let him bring a proof to keep the money that he got for the animal. Mm-hmm. Right? If we've now lined up and said that our Mishnah is like the opinion that holds that once you've accepted money, you have to bring a riot, you've received money, right? You now have to bring a proof to maintain that which you acquired. Mm-hmm. So let the owner of the original owner of the animal have to bring a raya that when he sold the animal, it was not yet a trefa, and he should keep the money that he sold, presumably being if he sold the animal as a trefa, it's worth less than originally was sold for. He'd have to give back some of the money.
We're trying to compare this case to the case of Kala.
So we're just saying, if you want to compare that original case of Hamachlif Parah V'Shor V'Chamor, right, and you argued, well, what's the paradigm, right, for that example was our Mishnah, mm-hmm. right, and you argue is Aresha, right, which was the case where the daughter does Kiddushin with this guy, which is Tavach Be'Saviyah, and the reason it's comparable is because the Kesef Kiddushin that the father received, he has to bring a proof that she didn't have the mum earlier so he can keep the Kesef Kiddushin. So that doesn't make any sense. Right. Why? Because in this case, why do we make the purchaser bring a raya that he should get the money back from the seller?
Right. Seller,
you should make the seller bring your proof that it wasn't a trefa, so he can keep the money that he's already acquired.
But the difference in this case, are we talking about an internal mum versus in our case with a bride, it's an external mum that someone would have seen?
Except that if it's so external, then we wouldn't be asking the question.
But I thought we were talking about the fingers.
Right. But I think the point here is that, I think irrespective of that, the point is that either way, regardless, we're asking someone to bring a proof, whatever that proof is going to be, the person has to bring a proof. Because presumably we didn't know, right? So we have to bring a proof. We're misupak. We don't know. Right. Was the mum there before or after? Here, was the animal trefa before or after? Respective of where you could find it or couldn't find it, again, there's ways to find this out also, right? Irrespective of the different type of mum, at least at this point, the question just is, who has to bring the proof? Is it a mosim yechaviyah la haraya? Right? And if I'm trying to extract the money back, I have to bring a proof? Or no? Even if I acquired the money, I have to bring a proof to keep it. Right, and so that's a problem here. This example seems to be a kasha on that approach. Okay, so says Gemara, no problem. What do you mean? The case is the guy didn't pay yet. So since he didn't pay yet, right? Who's bringing the raya? The person who's bringing the raya again is the taka, the original owner, right? And he's bringing the raya and he's keeping the money. No. The person bringing the raya is the purchaser, and he hasn't bought it yet.
So right? It's left pocket, right?
So pocket. He isn't the mosim yechaveyo in that case. He's a person who's just making the argument, and we make the owner, the original owner, taka, bring a proof so he can keep the money in his hands.
That's coming to him.
Or get the money right. Exactly. Fine. So you might say, whoa. My pasco. That's a nice answer, but who said that that's the case? I mean, how do you decide that that must be the case? Right? Can't be. You don't know that for sure, right? So Ella. So they're going to change the answer. Ella ki asa Rami bar Yecheskel Amar. Don't listen to what my brother said. My brother Yehuda said this in the name of Shmuel. Don't listen to him. But rather, this is what Shmuel said. And this brings us back to an approach that we said before. Wherever the suffix arrives, that's the person who has to bring the proof. Right? Vitani tuna kala. And what's the best example? Our Mishnah, and that we've said that was an earlier approach we said in general to our Mishnah, right? If the issue arises in the father's house, he's got to bring the raya. If the issue arises in the husband's house, the new husband's house, so he has to bring a raya. And we said that earlier, right? And fine. That's what Shabbos said. So Gemara says, "Well, Meisve," and Gemara's we're not going to go through the whole story again. But Meisve Mechad Shenim Seis Ovi Beis Hakosas. What about our story? Right, our story is this new story of the hole in the stomach of the animal. Again, what did we say? Right, we said the case was that you find the hole, and the question becomes, you know, if we don't have any, you know, we don't have a scab there, we don't know when the hole came. And that's what we said, right? So. And if that's true, then again, who is the
proof?
Yeah, who has to bring the proof? So again, here you're saying it depends on where you are. Here we're saying that's not true. If the guy's now acquired the cow, right, at that point, so if he's already paid, he does have to bring the proof, even though Now let's flip it around. V'i de lo yayiv tavach, dummy, right? And if the guy didn't pay yet,
right?
So say I got the cow now. Mm-hmm. I didn't pay yet, right? Baal behema, baali suri raya, umafik. So then the owner of the behema is the one who has to bring the proof, right? The original owner has to bring a proof to say what? I was a good sale, pay me, right? Mm-hmm. Right? And v'amai. Why does he have to do that? Where did that suffix arrive? It arrived once the other guy purchased the cow. He already purchased it. He shechts the animal. He opens it up. He says, oh, give out. And he brings, you know, this is the class. This is what they do all the time, right? They check the lungs. They check the whatever. They check the different parts of the animal, and they find that it might be a trefa. Or that it is a trefa now. Question was, when did it become a trefa? Right? And again, who's the one who's going to have to bring the fruit? Who has to go make a claim? It's the seller, right, who has to say, no, I have proof that the animal wasn't a trefa when I sold it to you, pay up. Mm-hmm. Right? But wait a second, the suffix arrived in the hands of the buyer.
Right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So answer the Gemara, the Yayiv Tavach Dami. So we flipped it. So I'll tell you what happened. No, the case is that the butcher actually paid the money. Right? Mm-hmm. And if he actually paid the money, then what? Then he's bringing, then why is the original owner have to bring a proof? Right, he has to go make a, you know, bring a proof because it. And by the way, in that case, no. But again, we said, make sure we have this clear. Shmuel, we're just quoting now from Shmuel that it depends on where the suffix arrives.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So now we're saying if there's suffix arrives in the hands of the buyer, right? So he should have to bring the proof,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So he said, "Why does
if he already paid?
So if he did,
he has to bring the proof to get the money back.
If he already paid, he has to bring the proof. Right. Good. So by explaining that the case is where he already paid the money, so now he's a Mosimich Rael of Araya, but it makes sense because he's the one. The suffix arrived in his house, in his possession. Good, excellent. So now that makes sense. Now, good. Question: Maya Paska, but how do you know? Again, how do you know that's the case that he already paid? So this is an easier answer. And it's the Stama de Milsa, Kama de Lo Yav Inish Zuze, Lo Yav Inish Chayusa. What's the normal case? Normal case is when you buy something, you pay the money, Yeah. Right? So that's, then to say the case was, he already sold him the animal, the guy hadn't paid yet. That's an unusual,
scenario.
So that's, we said, my Pascha, how do you know? And here, that's normal, right? Here, you pay me the whatever it is, and anything you pay, and anything you buy today, right? What do you do? And presumably then also, you hand the item over, the person hands the money over. Even the case of the para chamor. What do we say? The moment that you do the mashicha on the para, automatically the chamor goes. Well, that's how things usually go, right? And that's why that makes perfect sense, and that's where we're fine. So we sort of like close the conversation with this assumption that, and again, at least that's one possibility, right? And actually there's a little dalet on the words, which means that's the approach that we actually quote in Shulchan Aruch. But the point being that how do we understand at the end of the day these two sides of this Mishnah? The answer is it depends on where the suffix arrives. If the suffix arises in the hands of the father, so he has to bring proof. If it arrives in the hands of the husband, so he has to bring the proof. And same thing with the cases of the parnel chamor or the any other sale, that we assume if we're not sure where the suffix arrives, so then it's on the person. Sorry, if we're not, when the suffix arises, the place, the person who's the, you know, the one who's holding on to that item or that person or whatever, at that point is the one who's now going to have to bring a proof in order to manage it. Okay, so we'll stop here. I'll pick up next week.